The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to episode 16 of The Look Ahead here on the SB Nation NFL show. And RJ, it is the most wonderful time of year. We have six teams that have clinched playoff spots. There are still eight spots up for grabs, and most of those will be decided by the end of Sunday. We've got a team that can clinch the number one seed with a win. We've got three teams that can clinch divisions with a win. Three more teams can clinch a playoff spot with a win. This is one of the best weeks of the entire regular season.
It's good to be with you, Stats. Merry Christmas to you and yours. I hope you get whatever you asked for. I hope that you have enjoyed lots of nice treats. And I hope that you are safe and warm. I know that you live in a colder part of the country, and I know that you've been working on your snowblow game. So I can see you look satisfied in that regard. So I'm proud of you for those efforts.
It's coming along. It's a lot better than the 49ers season, I'll tell you that much.
Hey,
we want to remind you.
Well, we want to say that the Dallas Cowboys beat the San Francisco 49ers last week. That's the most important thing here.
Do we want to say that? So you beat the 49ers C team. Congratulations.
Hey,
good win for you guys.
The Dallas Cowboys beat the San Francisco 49ers. America's team beat the San Francisco 49ers.
Are you done with your victory laps now? Can I continue?
You can.
All right. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show. We do read the comments, contrary to conventional internet wisdom. They really do help, so we really do appreciate it. All right, this week is absolutely loaded with games, RJ, so let's get right into it. We dive in the NFC with the Vikings and the Saints on Christmas Day, and this is a massive, massive game. Here's my question to you, because Drew Brees came back last week, and he was not great. Do you worry more about the Saints offense with Drew Brees or more about the Saints offense with Taysom Hill at quarterback?
Oh, wow. I think I'm more worried about the Saints offense with Drew Brees. I know that there were moments of impressive football against the Kansas City Chiefs last week, but I don't know. It just, this feels like, you ever like make a dinner that you just don't really want to make? You know what I mean? But you like bought all the groceries anyway. Like, you're like, well, we got to make it because we bought all that stuff. And it's, you know, it's just kind of like a means to an end. That's what this Saints season feels like. I'm really, it feels icky. And not that they're icky, but it just feels icky. And so I think the Vikings are a great get right team for them. I should own this. I've been wrong about the Vikings. I continue to believe in them and blew up in my face. But I think there's something for the Saints to maybe, just, you know, on Christmas Day, beating the team that ended your season last year. And this could be to the Saints what that Monday Night Football game in Cleveland was to the Ravens. At least that's my hope for their sake.
I forgot about the whole revenge factor in this. That I think there's something to that, especially when it's, you know, a playoff type game. I don't know. I don't know if the Saints have what they want at quarterback in either guy. I don't know if the Vikings have what they want at quarterback. This is such a weird game. I feel like neither one of these teams is where they want to be in terms of their roster construction. But the Saints are given 7. And that seems high to me. I said last week I didn't buy into the Saints defense as this elite unit. I still don't. I'm not sure I'm willing to lay that many points.
I agree with you. I will certainly take the Vikings to cover. I have a take, Stats, and it's really more asking if this is your take. Are the New Orleans Saints the NFC's version, and we'll get to them later, of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, are these two teams, the Spider-Man meme, kind of not frauds, but maybe perceived to be something greater and more intimidating than they really are?
I think so. I mean, I've said that about the Saints for multiple years. They beat up on a lot of bad teams. They do. Facts are the facts, okay? And they are not in dispute.
But their offense has sung in those moments. You know, like, it's fine to beat bad teams like 40-0 versus like 17-14. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's the difference that we're talking about now.
I guess. But then when they face good teams, what happens? They get beat. I mean, they get beat by teams that aren't even that good, like the Vikings ending their season in the playoffs. Like, they always look better than they are. I think they're inflated by Sean Payton because he's such a good coach. And I think he does a lot with a very limited quarterback right now in Drew Brees. But would you be stunned right now if the Saints lost this game?
I would not, that's why I think they're in kind of Steelers territory, like teams we all thought would be contenders that are just kind of fading as the most important time of the year arrives, which is not a good thing. I do think that they are and have been the best gold helmeted team in the NFL. but I am worried. I do think this game swings one direction or the other. It is either the, okay, we took care of business, we got our revenge, we set ourselves up, we won the NFC South, another NFC South banner at the Superdome type moment, or it is the what the Steelers had on Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. You and BLG did a great job talking about that, where they're not that the Vikings or the Bengals, but, you know, this is a reeling team that just lost to the Bears. And so if you lose to them, it's going to be a lean Christmas around New Orleans.
It's going to be a banner year in New Orleans. No, this is a game. If you are as good as everybody says you are, if you are a legitimate threat in the NFC, you have to win this game. You just do. Like, you handle your business in this game. And if the Saints do, then I will feel a lot better about them going forward. I admit that. But I certainly don't know if they will, and I certainly am not going to give 7 points.
I think that's fair. I am excited, by the way, to watch a game on Christmas, a game on a Friday. You know, I've been to a Friday Christmas game. That's actually, it was 2006. The Jeff Garcia-led Philadelphia Eagles went to Texas Stadium to play the Dallas Cowboys. It was a bitter pill to swallow of a day, but it was still really cool and really fun. And so this, I like games that have different energies. I told you last week that, you know, when the poinsettias come out, you know, the games start meaning more, and there will definitely be poinsettias. And you called it last week, too, the little graphic. I mean, we're going to see that, you know, all over the place. We're going to get some nice, like, tinsely graphics. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Some of the graphics will have Christmas lights on them. There'll be snow that's piling up somewhere. By the way, when this game is played, I believe that will mean that we have had football games on every day of the week this year. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, because we've already had the Saturday games. So,
and Wednesday games.
And Tuesday. Wow, yeah. Look at us. It's like, and last week we finally had the circle of parity complete with the Jets getting their win. So we've got now like the calendar of parity. Look at that.
Speaking of parity, let's go to our next game, Rams Seahawks. And I say that because I feel like all these NFC West teams are sort of the same. They can look really, really good one week, but then they can look really, really bad in other weeks. And nobody, and I mean nobody, looks worse than the Rams coming off a loss to the previously winless New York Jets.
Yeah, tough to defend that. I actually thought it was kind of like the lowest of low-key gigantic levels of shade for Sean McVay to literally come out and be like, yeah, I'm embarrassed. You know, like, that's a really, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a really kind of aggressive thing to say. Like, it's true, but like, no coach would say that. And I found it strange that Sean McVay would be that honest. Maybe he felt the need to. He's always had a great read on his players. It's Rams Seahawks. It's super weird. The NFC West is a dumb division. Everybody knows that. All the teams in it are terrible. But honestly, like, I'm pumped for the Seahawks. I know that they, you know, they eked out a win against the football team last week, but this is the time where, Russ, if you're going to be cooking, you know, you took the last couple months off, you let the sous chef handle it. Now's the time to fire up your favorite recipe, whether it's on the Great British Bake Off or Top Chef, Master Chef, Food Network star, whatever. The time is now. If you really want everybody else to think of you as a legitimate contender in the playoffs, like that's who this winner is. Like that's not the case with Minnesota and New Orleans. The winner of this game has everybody talking about them as the preeminent team to go the furthest from that division.
I totally agree with you. And the problem is, and I think Michael Kiss did a good job of this on Monday Football Monday, like Jared Goff can look really good. But as Kiss pointed out, his floor is losing to the winless New York Jets. Like if Russell Wilson plays the worst game you've ever seen, the worst game of his career, the Seahawks can still win.
Right.
If Jared Goff plays the worst game of his career, there's no way the Rams can win this game.
I agree with that. And I think that we've seen the Rams respond well at times, both this season and in the Sean McVay era. We were talking before we started recording. McVay's Rams have won 5 of 7 games against the Seahawks. I know you've talked about before how it's kind of like a three-team circle of dominating one within that division. I think that's a factor. I think the fact that it's in Seattle is a factor. It's cold. It's Christmas. And so I don't know. I really am fascinated because this is going to affect how I feel about a lot of people because I love Russell Wilson and I want my dream Super Bowl stats this year is Seahawks Bills. I would love to see that. And I would win no matter what personally, but I don't have a love for the Rams. And so if they win, now we have to like legitimately take them seriously again. I'm not trying to be the guy that's like, oh, Sean McVay sucks. Sean McVay is awesome. But I mean, if Sean McVay's team craters again, what's the conversation about the Rams next year? Is it purely about Jared Goff? Like, I don't think that Sean McVay's done anything wrong, but people in 2018, it was like, this is the team of the decade, blah, blah. And like, it shows how difficult it is to have sustained success in the NFL. And so a lot will change for whoever wins this game and whoever loses this game. I think Seattle takes it though. What's the line? I know you're the money man.
It's Seahawks by 1.5.
And by the way, these lines are as of Wednesday from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Wednesday, December 23rd, if you're listening. And if you can get Seattle by 1.5, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I know the Rams have owned them, but that can't continue forever. And I'm sorry. My confidence in Jared Goff is at an all-time low. The Rams have 5 losses this year. 3 of them are to the 49ers and the Jets. Just think about that.
Wow, you just put your favorite team in the same company as the Jets.
Well, when they play like garbage, that's what you get. I mean, it's true. But like the Rams can lose to really, really bad teams. And I think Russ is eventually going to crack that code, that sort of this hold that McVay has over him. And I think the way to do it, honestly, like you were saying, is to let Russ cook. The Seahawks have gradually gone away from letting Russ cook from the start of the season. It's almost like they won a bunch of games and Pete Carroll was like, whoa, 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 okay. Let's just coast it out to the playoffs now. Like, I don't know if he realized that the season is 17 weeks long, but like, you got to get Russ back in the kitchen, Pete. Just let him go. Your running backs are not that great. Put the ball in your best player's hands.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it, like cracking the code. If I don't know if you watch like the Great British Bake Off stats, that's a great, great show on Netflix. Great for the family. You're sitting around. You want to do something, whatever. but there are challenges that some people just aren't that good at, right? Like if you've got to bake a certain thing, some people just are really bad at baking like biscuits or whatever. Russ has always not been the best biscuit baker. But guess what? This week, Russ is baking the most bad biscuits than anybody's had this side of the Pacific or the Atlantic or whatever ocean you want to call it, because I believe that the Seahawks are going to win. Let him cook.
I think the Seahawks are going to win also, and the Rams have everything in the world to play for because they clinch a playoff spot with a win. So this is going to be one of these knockdown dragouts, but I cannot put my faith in Jared Goff, and I don't think I ever will ever again.
Shout out to the Rams. And you know how this goes? Because we were also talking stats. Apparently, a Cardinals win clinches a playoff berth for the Rams. And a win for the Seahawks in this game clinches the NFC West. So we could actually end this game because the Cardinals play your Niners on Saturday in a game that's exclusively on Prime Video, by the way. Shout out to digital streamers everywhere, I guess. But it will be the ultimate, like, when the Rams get blown out by the cooking Russ, just to have had the Cardinals won and earned them a playoff spot anyway. That will make for a really long week for the Rams next week.
That is like 2020 in a nutshell, basically. Yeah. All right, let's go to the NFC East now. Your Cowboys, as you have so gracefully pointed out, fresh off a win over my 49ers, are facing the Philadelphia Eagles. And what I thought might be an easier game for Dallas now with Jalen Hurts a quarterback for Philly, I don't know. How are you feeling about that?
I've said for weeks that Jalen Hurts presents the biggest wild card factor in the NFC playoff picture. I think that's evidenced by the fact that he beat the New Orleans Saints. He's a large reason why they're not going to have a first round bye. He almost beat the Arizona Cardinals. And if he gets enough help, then maybe the Eagles could win the NFC East. I do think this sounds crazy. The Cowboys stats have won two games in a row. They have won three of their last five, and they are kind of a functional NFL team, which didn't seem to be the case, you know, as a possibility a few weeks ago. And of their last five games, which, by the way, was them returning from their bye, they beat the Minnesota Vikings, which, okay, not the most impressive thing in the world, but rather impressive at the time. Then they lost at home on a short week to the Washington football team on Thanksgiving while dealing with all sorts of emotions after the loss of their coach. They lost, like, almost 2 weeks later in Baltimore to the Ravens, who began their peak back to the top. And then, again, not great wins, but they beat the Bengals and they beat the 49ers. And for what it's worth, those are teams that the entire NFC East all got to play. So things are just kind of normalizing. I mean, last week I tweeted this out. The Cowboys were the only team in the division to win, but that's because they played the Bengals and the Giants played the Browns. The Seahawks played the Washington football team and the Eagles played the Cardinals. Well, the Cowboys got dragged by all three of those other teams earlier in the season. And so things are just kind of falling into place. You know what I mean? Like your schedule starting to match up. And I think, I don't know if you agree, I think the Cowboys would have beat the Eagles last time they played if Andy Dalton had been quarterback. They played Ben DiNucci in his first ever NFL game and start and still almost beat them. And so I'm not trying to cape for Andy Dalton and say he's an elite quarterback, but I think he makes this offense much better. The Cowboys' three wide receivers have all started to play really well. They've each kind of had their own games, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb. And I also think that DeMarcus Lawrence is playing like one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. I don't know that I think he got snubbed for the Pro Bowl, but he's still really good. And I know the Eagles are shaky at right tackle. And so you're telling me that there's a rookie quarterback who's got a shaky right tackle going up against one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. The last point I'll say that kind of ties all this together, I'm going to muddy the exact numbers on here, so forgive me, stats. But prior to this stretch, the Cowboys had something like two possessions that began on the plus side of the 50-yard line. They've had like seven of them since. And some of that's just lucky turnovers. Some of that's special teams turnovers. And they haven't always turned those into touchdowns, but they're generally getting points out of them because that's a lot easier to do with shorter fields. And I think that that's the difference. I think that maybe the Cowboys get like 9 points out of that, maybe with some Jalen Hurts fumbles. DeMarcus Lawrence did force one on Nick Mullins last week. And I think that that's...
Who doesn't?
I think that that's the difference. And I think the Cowboys, I'm surprised that they're 2-point dogs here at home.
There is a logical argument to be made that, look, the Cowboys were coming in with a new head coach. It takes time for the coach to get to know the players and vice versa. And then they had the injury to Dak and then the injury to Andy Dalton. So they've never really had a chance to kind of settle in. And you can make the argument now that maybe they're starting to settle in, and maybe we kind of discount a little bit what we saw earlier in the year and start to think that maybe this is the team the Cowboys actually are now that they've experienced a little bit of stability. And I agree with you on Andy Dalton. He's an absolutely functional quarterback. There's a ton of talent around him. I think the Cowboys are a much bigger pain for teams than they were earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the injuries, obviously, to the quarterbacks, but the Cowboys, you know, it should be said that when Mike McCarthy took over as head coach, Travis Frederick had not retired. He has since retired. The Cowboys have lost Tyron Smith for the season. They've lost Lyle Collins for the season. They have probably lost Zach Martin for the rest of the season. And so, I mean, that last week's stats against your Niners, the Cowboys trotted out the same offensive line for the third week in a row. That's the longest streak that they've had this season, just playing the same five dudes at the five positions on the offensive line. And so I think you're right. I think they're settling in. There's continuity. I don't know if Leighton Vandrish is going to play in this game. I don't know that that's a really big factor, honestly. Love LV and the wolf hunting and everything, but has had his bad moments, certainly. But the Eagles, it was certainly impressive that they beat the Saints. But some of that is... we think the Saints are frauds. It was impressive that they, you know, kind of went back and forth with the Cardinals, but we've kind of called the Cardinals fraud. By the way, we just think everybody's frauds, I've realized in this sentence. But I think that on paper, it looks a lot more like the Eagles are a better team. And I do think that this is two cultures in serious need of wind in their sails. And I think that this, if the Eagles win, I think not that this hasn't even been driven in, but it's the final nail in the Carson Wentz as an Eagles quarterback coffin.
I think that nail's already.
It's just further. You're going like further into the ground at that point.
Yeah, I think that book is closed, but I agree with you. It's certainly not going to help things if Jalen Hurts can get another win. I think I like the Cowboys in this one. Everything we've just said about them that's good, I think Jalen Hurts is going to be good too. This is going to be like a fun NFC East, just bruising kind of a game. I'm really looking forward to it, but I think and I hate to say this about a Mike McCarthy coach team, but I think the Cowboys are getting functional now, and they're going to find a way to get it done.
I'm excited. I have the Cowboys as well. And I don't know that this has ever happened. I'm sure it maybe has, but CeeDee Lamb is going, not that he's directly, but going up against his third former quarterback this week. He's already gone against Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, who both threw to him at the University of Oklahoma, and now he's getting Jalen Hurts. I just don't know that that's ever happened. You know, like, there's a lot that has to go into that for that to be like a thing that happens. You have to have had three quarterbacks in college. They all have to be starters at the right time in the NFL. Like, that's a really interesting data point.
That is, only you could find and dig that up.
Go Cowboys.
I mean, I don't even know how to respond. Good?
Okay. It's cool. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I thought, by the way, I told you this last week. I wish Jalen Hurts had worn number one, but it was cool seeing Cam Newton and Tua both wearing number one. I don't know that we've ever had a matchup with number ones in the NFL before.
Yeah, not a fan. let's move on to Tennessee and Green Bay. And I'm going to ask this question, and I'm asking in complete seriousness, which I know it's going to sound crazy. Who's the better quarterback in this game?
How dare you? How dare you ask this, Stats? Now, let me be clear. I'm a fighting Texas Aggie. All right. I was at Texas A&M when Ryan Tannehill was a wide receiver. Gerard Johnson was his quarterback. It was a lot of fun. And then Ryan Tannehill became the quarterback and things changed. And I always thought it was insane that, you know, he was regarded as a first round talent. And, you know, I'm very happy to see that he has had the success that he has had with the Titans. I have spent a lot of time in just audio fashion, both in my life and on podcasts. And I've written a lot of words sort of almost willing the demise of Aaron Rodgers because he has made my life as a Cowboys fan very miserable. I have learned not to doubt this man. You can doubt Ryan Tannehill. It's safe to doubt Ryan Tannehill. It is not safe to doubt Aaron Rodgers. By the way, there should be a name for this matchup when it happens, because it's a rare thing when the conference championship game losers meet up. Like, that doesn't always happen the following year, and it did happen this year in this case.
I'm not doubting Aaron Rodgers.
You spat in his face.
I did no such thing. I saw this from CBS Sports. And this blew my mind. Since Ryan Tannehill took over for the Titans 24 games ago, he has a 114 quarterback rating, over 6,000 passing yards, 61 total touchdowns, and just 10 picks. And by the way, most of those numbers are better than Patrick Mahomes in his last 24 games. Like, he has been not just good, really, really good, and I don't think he gets enough love.
I totally agree with you that he doesn't get enough love. I think that Tennessee in general doesn't get enough love. Shout out again to Michael Kist. We call him Music City Mike on Monday Football Monday because he's always hyping up the Titans. But I think that's all fair. But I hate that I'm going to say this because it's such a like cliche. I just don't trust Ryan Tannehill to win a game. Like, if it comes down to it, like, Aaron Rodgers is hanging it on everybody last week. I did not know this, Stats, before the Panthers game last Saturday night, that Aaron Rodgers had, at entering the game, more games this season with three passing touchdowns than anybody's ever had in a single season in NFL history. And so this, like, I don't know. You've played, you know, I imagine NCAA Madden, you've done a career mode. You've made Rob Stats Guerrera, the quarterback of the 49ers. You've taken your team to back-to-back titles, three in a row, something no one's ever done before, right?
No. I'm a wide receiver.
Oh, okay. Of course. You've got the build. I could totally see that. But when you do that, like arbitrary person, when I've done that, you have a season with your like created quarterback that's like you throw 73 touchdowns and like six interceptions, and it's awesome. And like that is literally who Aaron Rodgers is this year. And so in no way do I want to disrespect Ryan Tannehill, but the Packers, and I also think we sleep on Aaron Jones. Like, I think that the Packers as a whole, the Smith brothers are kind of coming along, and this sucks to say as a Cowboys fan. I hate this. And the more success the Packers have, the further in level of an indictment it is against Mike McCarthy. But the Packers, I've been telling you this for weeks, stats, they're the best team in the NFC. I would love to see the Seahawks beat them in the NFC title game. I don't think that's happening. I think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, and I think I'm going to be upset about it.
Aaron Rodgers is really good. But here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers has been really good for a long time, and the Packers still lose. And they lose big games, and they lose to teams that do one thing really well. And what is that thing?
Run the ball.
And what do the Tennessee Titans do really, really well?
They run the ball.
Derrick Henry is going to flatten the Green Bay Packers.
I disagree with that. What's the line?
Green Bay minus -3.
I will take that very easily. I think that the Packers, I think this is a, we are so much better than anybody gives us credit for a game. And I will even go a step further, stats. Derrick Henry finishes with less than the Green Bay Packers, the 96 Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl. If it's 96 to push, less than 96 total yards from scrimmage, Derrick Henry has.
Oh, I'll take that bet. Are you out of your mind? Look, this is the Packers' flaw, and this is not a new thing. They've given up a ton of rushing yards this year, and they gave up a ton of rushing yards last year, and not just to my 49ers, who I want to point out, flatten them. They cannot stop the run, and they never really did anything this offseason to upgrade that or change anything about it. I think Derrick Henry is going to stiff arm this entire defense all the way down the field into oblivion, and the Titans are going to roll in there and dominate this game. And if, like I said, Ryan Tannehill has to make a play, he's shown that he can.
Certainly possible, but it's not going to happen. I have one question for you, stats, on this. After I mentioned Aaron Jones, after the Packers win last Saturday night, he talked about how they want to make other teams have to go through Lambeau Field and talked about how nobody's prepared for the cold. Do you buy that at all? Like, whether it's Lambeau or whatever, that the cold is this, like, nobody's ever heard of the cold before. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe I'm standing this hard for the Packers, but that's the lone thing that I'm like, guys, let's be, other teams play in the cold. It's not this foreign concept anymore.
There are certain guys that do not do well in the cold. Jared Goff does not do well in the cold. He is soft as, melted ice cream. But I think when you're a team
kind of
like,
cold, yeah.
When you're a team like Tennessee, who runs the ball. And by the way, if you come in there and you're really cold, but then you start running the ball and you're doing well, like, all of a sudden, you're not that cold anymore. Like, it's not that big a deal. The cold is an issue when it's a super close game, and all of a sudden, maybe the other team goes up by 2 scores, and now you're kind of nervous. Like, it's a factor, but it's not going to make a good team a bad team.
I agree with that. Worth mentioning that both of these teams can lock things up if they get help. If the Seahawks lost, the Packers could win and clinch the 1 seed. If the Indianapolis Colts lose and the Titans win, then Tennessee owns the AFC South.
But Tennessee can clinch a playoff spot with just a win.
Yeah, but that's lame. We're all about division titles here, Steph.
I don't know why you had to distinguish. I mean, if there was any year, this is the year where the division title is basically meaningless unless you're the top seed in the conference. Like, other than that, just get in.
But if you win the division, you get a banner. You don't get it unless you're the Colts.
Oh,
you don't get a banner, for not, for other things. But again, the Colts seem to believe in different things.
AFC finalist. That was their banner, which we all got a taste of because Tom Brady quote tweeted a picture of it because he was trying to clap back at Tony Dungy because Dungy said he was like the 5th or 6th hardest quarterback to prepare for.
We disagreed on this. I thought this was an incredible response from Tom Brady. I know that Tony Dungy wasn't the head coach of the 2014 Indianapolis Colts. It doesn't matter. It's incredible. That there are certain memes that never die. Like some get old and some, get beat to death. That one is always great. Shout out to Tom Brady.
But I don't understand. Like, if it's not coached by Dungy, then how is that a dig at Dungy? Dungy's the one that said it. The Colts organization didn't say Brady wasn't hard to play for or prepare for. So that's why I didn't get it from Tom.
You think that the Colts were like, Coach Dungy, man, why'd you drag us into this? We were doing nothing. Like, you just dragged us into this.
Does the banner still stand or did they take it down? That's what I want to know. It better not still be up there.
So I went to the Cowboys game in Indianapolis in 2018. They lost 23-0, by the way. And it was there at the time. And that was 4 years after the fact. So it was there.
God, if I was a quarterback for the Colts, that's the first thing I would say. That comes down immediately, and we never put up anything like that ever again.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Speaking of the Colts, RJ, this may be the biggest game between two AFC teams. It is Indy and Pittsburgh. I don't know what the hell is going on with the Steelers. They haven't scored more than 20 points in a game in a month. Ben Roethlisberger, in his own words, is playing like, quote, poo. What's going on with the Steelers?
So I was talking to Matt McEwen from Sports Betting Dime, our friend, over on the Blog and the Boys podcast, and I brought up a point that I think is really fair. The Steelers suck, don't get me wrong, but I do think that our sense of that is particularly heightened in a very unique way. You look at their last four games. The first one of that four was their last win against the Baltimore Ravens. That was the game that was supposed to take place Thanksgiving night, but got rescheduled to the following Wednesday. But still a primetime, I guess technically, a nationally televised game that everybody saw them win, but struggle on offense. Their next game
against the Ravens backups, they struggled.
Right. But so everybody saw, even though they won, everybody saw them struggle on national television. Their next game, not a nationally televised game, but it was a standalone game, the rescheduled game against Washington that was on the following Monday. Again, I know that the entire country didn't watch that because of restrictions and whatever, but it was its own window of a game where they struggled. They lost their first loss of the season. What happened after that? 6 days later, on Sunday Night Football, nationally televised primetime game, they get their teeth kicked in, not just in general, but to like a, we called it ourselves here, a changing of the guard, right? And so it's this like heightened level of you suck, right? And then what happens the next week on Monday Night Football primetime against a divisional foe who's like now without their top quarterback, number one overall pick, you lose again. My point is like they suck, don't get me wrong, but they have been sucking in front of everybody. Like I can't think of a situation ever like that where they've had four games where they were the only thing on. And so the attention is much heavier on them than if this streak had happened on, you know, three consecutive games at noon, so to speak. And I know that they're the Steelers and that's part of it. And I think that that's why stuff like the Juju thing gets blown up, because everybody is paying attention to them because of the times their games have happened.
Well, but also the Juju thing. I mean, he's going into all these stadiums dancing on the logo, and then he's getting his ass kicked during the game and turning the ball over. Like, you can't do both, man. If you're going to do that, that's fine. I have no problem with that. In fact, I like it. It makes things more interesting. It's better for our business. Go ahead, do that stuff. But if then you don't come through and play on the field and dominate, you're going to get crushed, and he's gotten crushed.
I like the – I guess we could – lump it under trash talk. I like that a lot. I like doing it before a divisional game. I like the bad blood between division rivals. I do think it looks bad if you lose. And there was even a tweet on Tuesday morning that said, I don't know if you saw the stats, Juju has more TikToks this year. He has 95 TikToks than he has had receiving yards in a single game. The most yards he's had in a game are 93. And so like, and that's what happens. Like you are magnifying the target on your back. And, you know, you live and die by that. I get why people are bothered by this. I don't disagree that it's Juju making something a big deal that is not a big deal. And it sucks that his teammates and coaches are being asked about this. And he addressed that on Wednesday. But I don't know. Like the fact that you're not going to do it anymore. Like, I think this was a lose-lose situation for Mike Tomlin is really what I'm saying. Because now you look like you're folding. You look like you are bending to the world if you're Mike Tomlin or the Steelers, whoever. Like, now everybody's going to call y'all a bunch of cowards or whatever and make fun of you for this. And that's just the situation the Steelers created for themselves.
I just don't like the vibe with the Steelers right now.
Right.
Ben says he's playing like poo. Juju, sorry. Sorry, I was dancing on midfield. I'm sorry. I won't do that anymore. Where's the confidence? Where's the swag? Give me a little something here. You're up against it. Right now is the time when you need to come out and be like, hey, we're the Steelers. We were kicking everybody's ass earlier in the year. We're a really good team, and we're going to go stick it to you right now. And they don't have that vibe at all.
I agree with you 100%. I don't think that the Colts have this vibe, but the Colts do have a, we will outwork you, we will outgrind you, we will, they have a Batman vibe, like they will lurk in the shadows and then they will attack when it's most appropriate. And I know everybody's already kind of like forecasting if the Steelers lose and if the Browns beat the Jets, you know, that Steelers Browns game next week is for the AFC North. I don't know that we've ever seen a collapse like that, like to be 11-0 and then not even win your division. I think that I'm not picking against the Colts this week. I mean, you know, like the Colts are the team that, you know, if they were like a wrestler, like I'm talking like legitimate wrestling, not like, you know, fake wrestling. And wrestling's not fake, kids, if you're like under the age of 18. It's totally real. But like they're the wrestler that just hangs on. You know what I mean? Like it's just in there, never going away, never going away, never going away, and then just outlasts you. That's who the Colts are.
And there's one other factor for the Colts, which you may not think is a big deal. I think it's kind of a big deal. The Pro Bowl teams came out this week. You know who wasn't on it? DeForest Buckner, who is having such a good year. Like, he's not going to get love for it because he's a defensive tackle and he doesn't always fill up the stat sheet. He is the absolute anchor of that defense. He is blowing plays up. I think he's going to be especially motivated to come out in this one and show everybody that he got snubbed. The Colts are giving two. I feel pretty good about it in this game. I think I'm going Indy.
I agree with you. I think that you used the words like swagger and bravado. There was a time where, granted, it was a bit far-fetched, but it worked for them, where the Steelers were taking every slight and turning it into fuel, right? You know, like, oh, they want to move our games, we'll play through it, you know, like whatever. I actually thought this was a great point last week when the Cowboys got flexed off of Sunday Night Football. We talked about that, or 2 weeks ago when the flexing happened, how the Steelers were pissed that they had their Thanksgiving night game taken away. And so that fire or tenacity or just overall disposition is absent. I am very worried about a team that is already coming out saying like, yeah, we're just drained. And I understand that you're drained. It's been a draining year. Like there's nobody's faulting you for that, but I don't think that makes you a team worth believing in right now. I think this, I think they might lose out and then lose in the first round of the playoffs. I think that's well in play. Do you not?
That would be, like you mentioned, collapse. That is the collapse of all collapses. And no one will remember it because Mike Tomlin went to the playoffs and they'd finish with a winning record and it'd be fine. But that would be an all-time collapse to go from 11-0 to losing your division and out in the first round.
It would be something. I don't know. I'm very excited for this game to be over almost. But only because I know people aren't the biggest fan of Baker Mayfield, but like if you're this Steelers team, like let's say they lose right to the Colts, this whatever level of confidence they have is now beaten all the bore. There is nobody that you want to face less than Baker Mayfield at that point, because that's the dude who's going to come in and just, if anybody is unafraid to punch you right between the eyes, it's Baker Mayfield. And that's like, he's the dude who's looking for that kill right now. And the Browns want that. They want that moment to say, we are the new team in the AFC North. There is an actual changing of the guard. Your collapse happened. We took advantage. We'll see you later. We're getting the home playoff game.
100%. I mean, Baker's gotten so much criticism. He's not afraid to kick you when you're down. He
right,
wants to
totally,
go.
Yeah.
I'm the number one pick. Everybody's doubting me. I'm going to come in and do, every time you doubt Baker Mayfield, I come back and I dominate, and he wants a chance to do it again. I kind of am rooting for that, because just to see that showdown would be awesome for week 17.
Yeah. I think the best way to say it is that Baker is unafraid to not only tell you that he's awesome when he wins, but that you suck. Like it's like he wants you to know both. And so that's, I want to see this happen. I feel like, I don't know, Stats. My last thing on this, like this story with Juju is sort of emblematic of the Steelers. They did such a great job of like powering through the Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell situations. And I think everybody gave them a lot of credit for that, but it does feel like they've dipped nationally. And Juju was this guy that everybody loved, right? And was this hard worker, ironically made to look that way even more so because of Antonio Brown. And Antonio, like, remember that screenshot he posted? Like, look at this loser at USC wanted help from me. Yeah. What a weirdo. But like, and now to like get to the point where Juju's antics are the distraction, like it's just a weird result. I never would have forecasted this happening with this organization of all organizations.
I don't think it would have, except here's the thing. They've also taken a dip in talent. Like Juju's not as good as Antonio Brown was. James Conner is not as good as Le'Veon Bell was. And this Ben is not as good as Ben was. They could do all that crap back in the day because they were really freaking good. And they're just not right now. Last game we're going to take a deep dive in before the lightning round, and that's the Dolphins and the Raiders. And I just look at two organizations going in complete opposite directions right now. The arrow could not be pointing more up on the Miami Dolphins. And to me, the arrow could not be pointing more down on the Raiders. And I don't even know why John Gruden is not under any pressure whatsoever.
I think we should call this game, I'm a fan of names for games, by the way, if that wasn't obvious. It is bowl season, admittedly in a different capacity. But this should be the like ideal vacation bowl because you got Miami and Las Vegas. You know, I mean, no, not a fan. I mean,
no.
What's your ideal vacation, Stats?
My ideal vacation is a beach vacation where I go and do nothing. I'm not one of those sightseeing activity guys. I'm a vacation guy. I want an alcoholic beverage in my hand and I want warm weather. And then everybody can just get the hell away from me.
We can make that happen in Miami. Party in the city where the heat is on.
That's true.
Anyway, this is a weird game. This is an interesting game to be primetime, to be honest. And this is a battle of teams that like both tried to tank, but one did it right. This is the question I've struggled with the most at this particular juncture, Stats. And I'll just ask you, and I'll let you answer for me. Who's a better quarterback right now, Tua or Derek Carr?
Derek Carr, I think.
It's close though, is it not?
Yeah, he can be. We've seen him this year in those games against the Chiefs. Like, he was on it. He was at another level. I haven't seen Tua get to that level yet.
I agree with that. But, I mean, at a certain, like, Derek Carr's 2020 games against the Chiefs are the new Carson Wentz's 2017 season. You know what I mean? Like, right. They're just, like, these very particular things that we focus on. And you're right. He played extremely well in those two games. But other than that, it's kind of been Basuda. And I think that I don't know a reason not to pick the Dolphins here. I mean, the Dolphins are impressive. They're a team that just kind of gets it done. I was curious where they ranked in DVOA because offensively they don't really impress me. And I think we really think of their defense to be one of the better ones in the NFL. They're 11th in defensive DVOA at present moment. They are 16th in offensive DVOA. And that seems about right. Like that just is like where I would sort of have them pegged to be. But that's like we talked about the Colts as being this like just get it done team. That's who the Dolphins are like, and they will find a way no matter what. I think Tua does a great job of learning mid game things that don't work well and responding and rebounding really well. And I think that will happen here. I don't know. The Raiders are not quite like Steelers level of brokenness, but they are fading very, very, very fast.
I mean, if the Raiders have shown one thing under John Gruden, it's that they consistently disappoint. They're, you know, they've had opportunities to do things and they never come through. And even though I think Derek Carr has a higher ceiling, or at least has shown a higher ceiling right now than Tua, if he could do that consistently, he wouldn't be Derek Carr. That's his problem, is that he can't. And I think Miami has a much better head coach in this game. Mm-hmm. I think John Gruden, I mean, this is going to sound weird, but yeah, he won a Super Bowl. That was like 18 years ago. That was a million years ago. It was a long time. He is squeezing a lot of juice out of that orange. He's been under 500 as a coach since he won the Super Bowl. Like, I am off the John Gruden train. I like everything about Miami in this game. Miami is favored by 3 points. I think I'm going to take the Dolphins and lay the points.
I do too. I know that this isn't, you know, breaking news. I think it's wild that we're about to be in a world at some point, whether this week or next week, where the Dolphins and Bills both have double-digit wins, and the Patriots do not. But we are on the precipice of that. I think, not to focus too much on Derek Carr, I think this is the, especially because Miami does have such a good defense, I think this is the last straw for him. We've talked a lot about teams that could be looking for quarterbacks next year, right? Like, you know, we'll see what the Bears do. We'll see, you know, I don't know, what the Bucks do, what whoever does, what the Saints do, things like that, Steelers, etc. So many people have tried to get rid of Derek Carr on the Raiders, right? Like, oh, John Gruden loves Kyler Murray. Oh, John Gruden loves Tua, right? Like, it was always going to be one of those guys. This is finally it. Like, this, I think, is it. And this is one of the last competitive games that Derek Carr plays for the Raiders. And in 2021, there's somebody else.
This is going to be an awkward divorce. You know, they're actually neighbors, right?
Yeah. I was thinking about that, like, you know, my wife and I were walking around, you know, social distancing and everything, our neighborhood, and we put different, you know, like, you know, Christmas cards and stuff in people's, you know, mailboxes. Do you think that they do that? like Derek Carr and John Gruden? Like, are they, you know, passing over like this? Does like Derek's wife bake something that, you know, they're like, oh, hey, Gruden's, we had some leftover banana bread. Do you want some? Like, or is the relationship not on that level?
I don't think it's on that level, because I think if that happened, Gruden would be like, what are you doing delivering baked goods? You should be studying film. Do you know that I used to work with Chris Sims, who played under Gruden? And Chris got married, and he told him, like, hey, I'm going to be away on my honeymoon for a week. And Gruden was like, okay. 2 days into the honeymoon, Gruden called him and was like, hey, man. Hey, Chris, John Gruden, when are you coming back? And he's like, I'm on my honeymoon. I got, like, 3 more days. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. And then, like, 2 days later, he called Chris back again and was like, hey, man, we need you. When are you coming back? Chris left his honeymoon early because John Gruden wouldn't leave him alone to come back for the team.
What a selfish player Chris Sims was, honestly. That's my takeaway from all that. I mean, the guy can't, you know, can't practice study on his honeymoon. I mean, what's the deal here?
Some people have priorities, and Chris is out of whack. What can I tell you? All right. So those are the deep dives we're going to take, but there's plenty of other games we want to get to. So it is time, RJ, for the Week 16 Lightning Round. First up in the Lightning Round, Tampa Bay at Detroit. The Bucks are favored by 9.5.
The Bucks are very big frauds, as we've discussed. They're still the only team in the top five in both offensive and defensive DVOAs. I don't think that means as much as I thought it did last week, which wasn't a lot, to be fair. A lot of people connecting, including your buddy at PFT, Matthew Stafford to Bruce Arians in 2021. I like the Lions to cover. The Bucks are just, I don't know, man. They're weird.
The Bucks are weird. Stafford's banged up, which, of course, when is he not banged up? But Tampa Bay can clinch a playoff spot with a win. I think they're going to play tough. I think Detroit hangs in there enough to win if they get the 9.5 points. So I am going to take the Lions. The Saturday game, San Francisco at Arizona. Arizona is giving 5 points. And let me just tell you, that ain't enough. The 49ers are a dumpster fire at quarterback. CJ Beathard is starting this game. Josh Rosen's going to back him up, and his first day with the team is Wednesday. No way. The Cardinals own the 49ers. Kyler Murray and company are going to get it done. I will lay the points.
I will take the Cardinals as well. I'm very excited to watch this game on Prime Video to see what it looks like. But that's about the most exciting thing that's going to be in this game.
You are fascinated that this game is exclusively on Prime Video. You've been mentioning it every time it comes up.
It's historical. That's never happened before. That's a big deal.
Hey, man, it's 2020. Evolve or die. All right, next up, Atlanta and Kansas City. The Chiefs are favored by 10.5 points.
Yeah, that's not enough either. Atlanta is Atlanta. Give me Kansas City, and I will feel very good about it.
I just want to know, how many point lead do you think the Chiefs could come back from in this game against the Falcons?
56.
You're not wrong. Bears and Jaguars. The Jaguars currently at the number one spot for the NFL draft. The Bears are favored by 7.5.
I will take the Bears to cover, just because the Jaguars know that Trevor Lawrence is in sight. They're going to do nothing to mess that up.
I don't know. To me, this is a game where Gardner Minshew's back. He's going to be doing some things. He'll mess around and fight away to pull out a win at the end. I think I'm going to take the Jags to win outright and the points in this one. Next up, Cincinnati at Houston. Houston's favored by 8.5, but as we've seen, Cincinnati can pull off an upset.
Stats, these are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are the Houston Texans, who are capable of imploding far more than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm very precarious about this, but I'm going to take the Bengals to cover, mostly because I think the Texans... Next, I'm switching. I'm bailing. I'm going Texans. I can't do it.
Yeah, I am going Texans, too. I mean, Deshaun Watson is so much better than anybody Cincinnati has available at quarterback. You gotta go with Houston. The Giants and the Ravens. The Ravens are favored by 11 points.
That's not enough. that's not enough. I think stats, the Cowboys are going to be the only team in the NFC East to win again this week. I think things are normalizing. Like I said, every NFC East team has had their run with the Ravens already. It's time for the Giants to get a taste of that medicine.
I was starting to buy into Joe Judge. I really thought he had that defense kind of cooking, and the Giants have really let me down the past couple of weeks. The Ravens are absolutely on fire right now. I will lay the 11 points. Give me Baltimore over the Giants. The newly minted one-win New York Jets are hosting Cleveland. The Browns are giving 9.5.
We willed the Browns-Steelers game in Week 17 game into existence, stats. We can't bail now. We've both got to go Brownies.
Yeah, I think so. Houston, Cleveland has too much on the line. I don't think this is a trap game. I think they just go out and grind the Jets into a fine paste. Next up, Carolina and the Washington football team. The Washington football team is favored by 2.5 points. Their quarterback's in the strip club.
Well, one of their quarterbacks. I don't think Alex Smith's playing in this game. It doesn't seem like Christian McCaffrey's playing in this game. I applaud the job that Ron Rivera has done overcoming every distraction and obstacle that has been thrown his way. I don't know. I think Carolina is a spunky team. I loved the way Matt Rhule handled the end of Saturday night's game in Green Bay from an analytical perspective. And I think that they get enough done. This week's stats is all about the teams with silver helmets and blue color schemes.
Washington can win, basically lock up the NFC East with a win. I think I'm going to go with Washington in this one. Their defense is really, really good. They kind of surprised me a little. They came back in that Seattle game. I know they didn't win it, but they came back and looked good. I think I'm going to go Washington, and I will lay the points. Denver and the Chargers, Justin Herbert and company giving 3 points.
I'll take the Chargers, and I feel really good about this. They've had a long time since they last played. That's a lot of time for Anthony Lynn to study how to not mess things up, and I'm nervous about it, but I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, both of these organizations, they don't inspire a ton of confidence, but Justin Herbert's the better quarterback by far. I will take them and lay the points. Monday Night Football, RJ. Last game on the docket, Buffalo and New England. The Patriots are out of the playoffs, and Buffalo is giving 7 points.
So Buffalo's already locked up the AFC East, and I think this is a flex game. This is like... You ever, like, the first day of school with your new pair of shoes game? You know what I mean? Like, this is walking into town with your... Oh, my bad. I thought I put my normal Bills cap on. Didn't mean to put my AFC East Champions cap on. We had so many because we won the AFC East. And this is our division now. You can go home. You can figure out whatever you want to do. But we run this place. The Bills are going to cover this easily.
We were talking about how Baker Mayfield will kick you when you're down. Well, the Patriots have been owning the Bills for decades in the AFC East. I think the Bills get some revenge. I totally agree. I think this is the run it up game. Remember the Titans?
Run it up, Herman! Leave no doubt!
That's what this is. This is the leave no doubt. This is our division. We are going to put the screws to you. Buffalo wins, and they cover the points.
By the way, shout out to Josh Allen. Gave his entire offensive line a set of golf clubs and I believe like a setup for golf lessons. So he's already, you know, getting ready for off-season work with them. That's really cool. QB1 right there, Stens.
Hey, that's all part of it. It's all part of leading the team. And go Buffalo. You know what? I love the Bills fans. I hope they enjoy it because God knows they've certainly earned it after years of futility. So that's it, RJ. That is the Week 16 edition of the Look Ahead. Again, we remind you, please rate, review, and subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show. We love all the comments. Keep them coming. If you want to follow RJ on Twitter, he is at RJ Ochoa. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Stats on Fire. Enjoy the game. Happy holidays, everybody. Be safe, be well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.